Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Sam, Jai Jai Sri Vrindavana, Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we're continuing.
Sakam taya sakina kunda grihe sriyasya swasyasta te kusuma bhavita bhushanena singaritam vidadati priyam ishvari sa ha ha bhavishyati marikshana gochara kim. Oh friend, when will I see you and our mistress together decorating her dearest one with flower ornaments in a forest cottage by the shore of her lake? Commentary. Is it just as Rati Manjari had predicted? It is just as Rati Manjari had predicted. The elaborately decorated grove, made beautiful both by Krishna's painstaking efforts and by Krishna's presence as the central ornament, is decorated further still by the many sweet exchanges between the divine couple that take place upon Radha's arrival. Radharani expresses her deep appreciation for Krishna's labor and craftsmanship, and he is moved by her eagerness and determination to be with him. Krishna says, Devi, you came barefoot along paths made scorching hot by the midday sun. Are your feet not sore? Looking indifferently at her feet, Radha replies, by fixing your form in my mind, the soothing rays of your moonlike face kept me cool along the way. It was like walking on smooth marble. But Krishna isn't completely satisfied with her answer. Let's have a look, Krishna says, as he sits Radha on a day bed, kneels before her, and takes her feet in his lap. He feels her soles to see if they are bruised, and then wipes the dust from them with his upper cloth. Rupa and Rati watch, ready to assist. They fan the divine couple and massage their lotus feet when they become tired. Rati Manjari notes that Sri Radha is taking a dominant role in her dealings with Krishna, and so she calls her mistress Ishvari, meaning that Radha is the monarch and controller of the grove and of Krishna. Krishna is a supreme controller, Parameshwara, but that supreme controller is controlled by Srimati Radharani. Many powerful demons like Madhu and Hiranyakashipu failed to conquer Krishna by physical strength, but Radha easily subdues him with the essence of spiritual strength, pure unconditional love. Sometimes the gopis gossip that Sri Radha knows a magic potion or a mystic mantra by which she controls Krishna. But the truth is that her ability to always keep Krishna submissive to her, indeed, to keep him under her control, Santatashrava Keshava, is an aspect of her very nature. It is one of her 25 essential qualities. Jiva Goswami comments that this special quality of Sri Radha is indirectly described in the following famous verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Anaya rajato nunam bhagavan hari ishvara yanno vahaya govinda prito yam anayad raha. Certainly this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Rati Manjari addresses Radha as Ishvari also because her mistress has taken the dominant role in the divine couple's acts of transcendental enjoyment. Viparita Vilas. Radha sees that Krishna's appearance has become disheveled, and so she wants to tidy him up. Not in his irregular attire, but in a floral costume. Sri Radha tells Rupa Manjari, "Bring a basket and follow me." The two girls leave Krishna by the side of Radhakund in order to collect assorted aromatic flowers in a nearby garden. Upon returning, they string the flowers into anklets, bracelets, earrings, garlands, and a crown. Everything needed to make Krishna look like Vernal Cupid himself. When the decorations are complete, Radharani dresses Krishna according to her liking. Just as Krishna sits submissively while his mother dresses him, he does likewise for Sri Radha. Rati is spellbound by Srimati Radharani's expertise in dressing Krishna. She watches closely as Radha leans over Krishna and ties a garland around his neck, intoxicating him with the excitement of her nearness. Rati whispers to Rupa Manjari, "Our mistress is dressing Krishna not only with floral ornaments, bhushanena shingaritam, but also with loving mellows, shingara rasa." This word vernal I have to look up.
Say that again.
This word vernal, look, Krishna looked like Vernal Cupid himself. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that means, vernal?
Vernal? My dictionary doesn't. Forest Cupid.
Forest Cupid.
Vernal, of, in, of appropriate to spring.
Okay.
Vernal definition is of relating or occurring to spring.
Okay.
Well, something you didn't know about the English language.
The writer or the editor managed to...
believe me, I am a goner when it comes to English language, unfortunately.
Who might have
I'm neither good in Hungarian nor neither in English.
Someone chose that word?
No, I do, but my grammar is pathetic, a point. I've learned a lot from K.V. Maharaj. When you were asking on Skype what's the specialty, what happens with the special kunja and something's described here. It's more elsewhere. But the interesting is how Srimati Radharani is so docile, so submissive, doesn't exhibit her unsubmissive nature. She's very... giving herself over to Krishna. She's not playing hard to get in any way.
In this description of this verse, I thought you were saying in your commentary that she's acting like Ishvari, taking the dominant role.
Okay, that doesn't contradict that, but that was in another aspect. And let me get to that aspect, because here, it's, you know, usually just as when she says, "You came barefooted by fixing your form in my mind, kept me cool all the way. It was like walking as smooth as marble. So she's very straightforward, forthright. Whereas usually she may come, and then she sees Krishna, and she says, "What did you do bringing me here?" Turns around and walks away.
Yes, I did consider, when I read that, I briefly considered it very submissive. Yeah, very.
Yeah.
Very open.
It's sometimes that's also there. Within, she's always like that, but externally, and her nature also, and then sometimes for Leela. Because Srimati Radharani's generally attitude to Krishna is that she plays hard to get, and a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times, she objects. She objects to what Krishna does. She objects to his advances, and ultimately she even objects to their intimate pastimes. But anyway, he sort of forces himself. So today, that would not go down very well in the Me Too movement. And what to speak of in the Me Too movement, in the Hare Krishna movement. But that's the interaction between the Supreme and his potencies.
So you're saying that general audience devotees would be uncomfortable with hearing about Krishna's aggressiveness and overpowering.
For some people, especially in the light of what the outside world, the mood the outside world is taking nowadays. Let's say it would be an interesting discussion on some TV program. Well, we read in your book that this is what your Supreme is. Do you think that this should be men's attitude towards women? And, in other words, when they say no, it still means yes?
Yeah, that progress with that point up, I think yesterday or today, the deprogrammer, the famous deprogrammer Ted Baxter, was scouring the books and coming out with things like cutting out the tongue of blasphemers and things like that. This is what they believe, just see.
Yeah. People really scour our literature. I don't know how much people do out there, but we really got a lot of things, and what will we say? Are we going to start making excuses for Krishna? And, even the sort of generally accepted BBT explanation of the rape statement is that, a woman likes a man who takes a dominant role and who's aggressive. Obviously, we're not talking about some kind of violent down the alley threatened with a knife type event. But even that necessarily doesn't go down well. Gonna rechange the footnote? And when the Republicans manage to change public opinion and it swings the other way, then we change the footnote again or we take it out. And Hare Krishna. But yes, she, just remembering that Rupa Goswami and Chakravarti Thakur also describe these three types of women. gopis, kupcha, queens, their love. Samartha, Samanjasa, and Sadharani, Samartha is the gopi's love. Samartha, it's complete. It has the greatest value because they don't do things for their pleasure. Everything is for Krishna's pleasure. Even when they say that they want pleasure, it's only in order to induce Krishna to please them, because then he'll engage in some lila, but actually they know that it gives him pleasure. Kupcha, Samartha, she has, Samanjasa, it's ordinary love. In other words, it's lust. But it's categorized as love because it's only to Krishna. She wants to enjoy herself, but only with Krishna. And when Krishna met her in Mathura and straightened her out, then that rati entered her heart towards Krishna. But her enjoyment, her mood is for her personal enjoyment. Doesn't exclude giving Krishna enjoyment, because that's naturally there, but it's really very secondary. And with the queens, then Sadharani. It's both. They want to give Krishna pleasure, but they also want to have not so much the pleasure of enjoyment, but that way I can have children, that way our family can expand, I can enjoy the pleasures of family life and so on. Well, that's why only gopis' love can actually really control Krishna. Only one can control, nothing else. Nothing else will control. Now you want to read CC?
Okay.
I've got everything
okay.
Here.
Okay. Beginning of chapter 18.
Well, just at the beginning. Okay. Bengali as well, or just a translation?
What do you suggest?
I like to hear the Bengali. Vandetam Krishna Chaitanyam Matri Bhakta Shiromanim Palapya Mukha Sangarshi Madhu Dhyani Lalasaja. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most exalted of all devotees of mothers, spoke like a madman and rubbed his face against the walls. Overwhelmed by emotions of ecstatic love, he would sometimes enter the Jagannath Vallabha garden to perform his pastimes. I offer my respectful obeisances to him. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Charya, and all glories to the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. E Mati Mahaprabhu Krishna Prema Veshe Unmada Pralapa Kori Ratri Divevashe. In the ecstasy of love of Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus behaved like a madman, talking insanely all day and night. Prabhura Atyanta Priya Pandita Jagadananda Yahara Charitre Prabhu Paina Ananda. Jagananda Pandit was a very dear devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord derived great pleasure from his activities. Prati Vatsarya Prabhu Tandri Patananadiyate Vicheda dukkita jani janani ashvashite. Knowing his mother to be greatly afflicted by separation from him, the Lord would send Jagannanda Pandit to Navadvip every year to console her. Nadiya chalahe matareka hiha namaskara amarinami pada padma dariha tanhara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Jagannanda Pandit, "Go to Nadiya and offer my obeisances to my mother. Touch a lotus feet in my name." Kohiha tanhare tumi koraha smarana nitya asiyami tomara bandiye charana. Tell her for me, "Please remember that I come here every day and offer my respects to your lotus feet." Je dine tomara icha koraite bhojana se dine asi avasya koriye bakshana. Any day you desire to feed me, I certainly come and accept what you offer. Tomara seva chadiyami karilun sanyas baulahana ami kailun dharmanas. I have given up service to you and have accepted the vow of sannyas. I have thus become mad and have destroyed the principles of religion. E aparada tumi na laiha amara tomara adine ami puttase tomara. Mother, please do not take this as an offense, for I, your son, am completely dependent upon you. Nila chaliya chiyami tomara agyate javad jiva tavad ami nariva chadite. I'm staying here at Nilachala, Jagannath Puri, according to your order. As long as I live, I shall not leave this place. Gopa lilaya paila je prasada basane matare patana taha purirabachane. Following the orders of Paramananda Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent his mother the prasad clothing left by Lord Jagannath after his pastimes as a cowherd boy. Jagannathera uttama prasada aniyadyatane matare pritak patana arabhaktagane. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very carefully brought first-class prasadam from Lord Jagannath and sent it in separate packages to his mother and the devotees at Nadiya. Paramananda Puri is Uddhava, right?
Yes.
Why he suggested send this specific Mahapratat, his pastimes as a cowherd boy. Interesting. Matri Bhakta Ganera Prabhu Hanashiromani Sanyasa Kariya Sadasevena Janani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the topmost gem of all devotees of mothers. He renders service to his mother even after he had accepted the vow of sannyas. Jagadananda Nadiya Giya Matare Milila Prabhura Yatta Nivedana Shakala Gahira. Jagannath Pandit thus went to Nadiya, and when he met Shachi Mata, he conveyed to her all the Lord's situations.
Salutations.
Yes. Greetings.
You said situations.
Say that again.
I thought you said situations.
Oh, maybe. Salutations. Acharya Bhaktagani Milila Prasada Diya Matatani Agyalai Lamasika Rahiya. He then met all the other devotees, headed by Dvaitacharya, and gave them the prasadam of Jagannath. After staying for 1 month, he took permission from Mother Sachi to leave. When, what time of year is he going?
Well, certainly not Chaitra Amasya time, because they would all go to Navadvip, Dvaitacharya and everyone. So, well, at least Rathayatra, is that Chaitra Amasya, during the Chaitra Amasya period?
Knowing what affects the Lord Saint Jagannath Pandit every year, it doesn't say when. Acharya Ratha Nigiya Agyama Gila Acharya Goshani Prabhude Sandesha Kahila. When he went to Dvaitacharya and also asked his permission to return, Advaita Prabhu gave him a message to deliver to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Taraja Praheli Acharya Kahi Natar Tore Prabhu Matra Bhujena Keha Bhujite Na Pare. Advaitacharya had written a sonnet in equivocal language with an import that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand, but others could not. Quote, Prabhure Kahira Amarakoti Namaskar Eniveda Tandra Charane Amar. In his sonnet, Advaita Prabhu first offered his obeisances hundreds and thousands of times unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He then submitted the following statement at his lotus feet. Bhaulake kahila loka haire baula Bhaulake kaiha hatena bikaya chola. Then I will read again. Bola ke kahi hakaya nahi kaola. Bola ke kahi ha iha kahi ache bola. Please inform Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is acting like a madman, that everyone here has become mad like him. Inform him also that the marketplace, rice is no longer in demand. Furthermore, tell him that those now mad in ecstatic love are no longer interested in the material world. Also tell Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one who has also become a madman in ecstatic love, Advaita Prabhu, has spoken these words. I'll just let you continue. It was a, for me, memorizing, to memorize in a language that you don't know is so difficult. And it came up, I tried to memorize this so many times, but it's such a tongue twister, unless you know what the actual words mean. And then, of course, I could learn the word meanings, but it's very, it's really difficult. It's a.
So the sonnet you tried to memorize?
Hmm?
This particular sonnet from Advaita?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, other things are easier, but this is just because of. It's very interesting. Bola ke kahiha lokahaila bhaula Bola ke kahiha hatena bikaya chola Bola ke kahiha kai nahika ola Bola ke kahiha iha kahiache bola. Anyway, the first half of the line is easy. Bola ke kahiha.
So he's telling Mahaprabhu that your mission's accomplished, you've done enough. So how do you explain that? Enough? When is enough enough? I mean, this is a spiritual energy, internal potency is unlimited, so why?
Well, seems like everyone there was overwhelmed, and is it really factual? Has everyone gotten enough? But you have to give some kind of reasoning to Lord Chaitanya that now your mission's accomplished.
In the marketplace, rice is no longer in demand.
Hmm. Yeah, no longer want love of God. Then. You don't want it.
Or you've done it sufficiently.
But, yeah, the missions, when your mission's accomplished in the material world, when I was over with Ramadevi, I also read her purport, 11th canto, Krishna's disappearance.
When you were with Rama?
Ramadevi, our god sister, who's got cancer. And there it all says one of the lessons that Krishna wants to give by his disappearance to Vaishnavas is when their mission is finished in the material world, they shouldn't tarry. They shouldn't stay any longer than needed. They should just go. Same thing, if your mission's finished, who wants you to leave? Especially in a preaching mission where then you get so many followers, generations of followers who are here and who are still, their mission isn't finished. They don't want to let you go. But you need to be clear, what's your mission and what, is it finished? And where is it ever finished? Like Satsukh Maharaj said, is it ever finished? And would we ever let him go?
I read another place that someone may say that you're criticizing materialists because they'll die, they'll lose everything, but Vaishnavs also die, so therefore, what are you being so uppity about in terms of criticizing others? You'll die, they'll die. So then, I forgot where exactly I read this, some shastra, that it was Prabhupada saying that there's no, for the pure devotee, there is no bodily connection in terms of happiness and distress, but Krishna makes it look that way to protect the confidentiality of bodily.
Yes. Vishwanath explains, says that, I don't know whether that's, but this maintaining the confidentiality of devotional service.
That's, now that you're reminding me, I think that's where we got it from Vishwanath Chakravarti or something.
I just read it recently in Raghavarta Machandrika. Not in relationship to this, but in relationship to other events that are apparently similar between materialists and devotees, and one of the reasons that, for instance, that that as soon as devotees practice Krishna consciousness, something that when they're, you know, they have no karma, Krishna gives them some karma in order for sadhakas to have a material body so they can continue practicing devotional service. And now I also forgot the context, but there he was mentioning that there was also some phenomena which is disguised in order to protect the confidentiality of bhakti. So it's just not accessible to anyone and everyone.
And then there was that point we briefly discussed that from the very beginning of your devotional service, spiritual sense objects are connecting to your spiritual self, generally speaking. And when you engage with material sense objects, that's connected to your material self. And as the bhakti develops more and more, your spiritual self becomes more prominent.
Mm.
But from the very beginning, when you're contacting spiritual sense objects, it's not your material body that's connecting with them, even for a neophyte.
Correct.
But obviously a neophyte probably wouldn't be conscious of it, what's going on.
Yes. And I was reading something that's I'd wrote, but it was a direct quote from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that even when devotees perform sadhana bhakti, they think, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. But actually, it's the holy name is manifesting by its own mercy and its own free will. You can't chant Hare Krishna. But he says, advanced devotees see like that. The holy name is dancing on your tongue. They see that actually all their acts are not even acts of their senses, but they're acts of the internal potency and all Krishna's mercy. But neophytes don't have that kind of consciousness, and so they think, I'm chanting, I'm dancing, I'm worshipping the deity, and so on. And it says there's no harm, because by performing that activity, as they become purified, they come to actually see that its bhakti is manifesting, and it's not that they're doing something. Looks like the same activity, the washing of floor. So, but actually, Mandira Marjanado, there's so many people washing floors around the world. They're not making spiritual advancement. Why do we make spiritual advancement? Because it's done for Krishna, and the bhakti is descending, actually. Baule kahiha kaya nahika ola. Baule ke kahiha iha kahiyache baula. What's so hard?
Still intrigued by. In the marketplace, rice is no longer in demand, and those now mad and ecstatic love are no longer interested in the material world, so time to go.
So what happened then?
Eta shuni jagananda hasi te lagila. Niva chale asi tave prabhure kaila. When he heard Advaitacharya's statement, Jagananda Pandit began to laugh. And when he returned to Dhanalapuri, Nilachal, he informed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of everything. Taraja shuni Mahaprabhu isha hasila. Tanra ye adya boli mona durila. After hearing the equivocal sonnet by Advaitacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quietly smiled. That is his order, he said. Then he fell silent. Jani yao swarup gosai prabhue puchila e tarajhara arta bujite narila. Although he knew the secret, Sri Damodar Goswami inquired from the Lord, what's the meaning of this sonnet? I could not understand it. Prabhu Kohin. Acharya hoy pujaka prabhu. Agama Shastra Vidhi Vidane Kushala. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, Advaita Chaya is a great worshipper of the Lord and is very expert in the regular principles enjoined in the Vedic literatures. Upasana lagi deve karin avahana. Puja lagi kota kala karin nirodhan. Advaita Chaya invites the Lord to come and be worshipped. And to perform the worship, he keeps the deity for some time. Puja nirvahan hoile pache korin visarjan. Tara jhara na jani arta kiva tanra mana. After the worship is complete, he sends the deity somewhere else. I do not know the meaning of this sonnet, nor do I know what is in Advaita Prabhu's mind. Mahayogeshra Acharya Tarajate Samart Amiha Ujite Nari Tarajata Art. Advaita Acharya is a great mystic. No one can understand him.
A little louder.
Advaita Acharya is a great mystic. No one can understand him. He is expert in writing sonnets that even I myself cannot understand. Shunya Vishmita Haila Sabha Bhakta Gana Sarupa Gosai Kichu Haila Vimam. Hearing this, all the devotees were astonished, especially Srup Damodar, who became somewhat morose.
He became morose.
And he knew the secret.
Yeah, it seems like he became morose at this last maintenance of Lord Chaitanya. Oh, afterwards, when he sends the deity somewhere else. I do not know the meaning of this sonnet, nor do I know where Lord Chaitanya's mind. Lord Chaitanya became somewhat morose.
Say dina aite prabhu dasha hoira. Krishna vichcheda dasha dviguna bhadira. From that day on, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's emotional state changed markedly. His feelings of separation from Krishna doubled in intensity. So that's why I was focusing on this chapter and this, because from that day on of Advaita Acharya's sonnet, Mahaprabhu's emotional state changed markedly.
Isn't it somewhere else where Lord... Okay, let's go. No, that was just my misunderstanding. I was thinking of Lord Chaitanya when he came back from Vrindavan. Well, when he was going to Vrindavan, his ecstasy kept 100 times and 100 times and 100 times. Increased. And then I thought, I remember that when he, after he came back from Vrindavan, his ecstatic state became more intense.
I thought you were going to take it all the way back to his return from Gaya, taking sannyas. Unmara pralapa chesta kore rachi dine. Radha Bhava Veshe Vira Bhada Anukshane. As his feelings of separation and the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani increased at every moment, the Lord's activities, both day and night, were now wild, insane performances.
That's insane. Pralapa, just. Pralapa is really talking craziness. This pralapa is prajalpa, not pralapa, prajalpa is crazy, insane performances. Must be really difficult for devotees to deal with.
Achambite spore Krishna matura gama udgurna Shahoya, Unmada, Lakshana. Suddenly there awoke within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the scene of Lord Krishna's departure to Mathura, and he began exhibiting the symptom of ecstatic madness known as Udgurna.
Which is...
Ramananda Galadori Karen Pralapan Sarupe Puchena Mani Nijasaki Gana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like a madman, holding Ramananda Roy by the neck, and he questioned Subhadamadara, thinking him to be his gopi friend. Purve Jena Vishakare Radhika Puchila Sei Shloka Buddy Pralap Korite Lagila. Just as Srimati Radharani inquired from her personal friend Vishakha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, reciting that very verse, began speaking like a madman. Kwananda Kula Chandrama Kwashiki Chandra Kalankriti Kwa Mandra Murali Rava Kwa Nusarendra Nila Juti Asa Rasa Tandavi Kwa Saki Jiva Rakshosha Jir Nidir Mama Suhintama Kwa Bata Hanta Adig Vidim. My dear friend, where is Krishna, who is like the moon rising from the ocean of Maharaj Nanda's dynasty? Rajendra Kula, Maharaj Nanda's dynasty. Where is Krishna? His head decorated with a peacock feather. Where is he? Where is Krishna, whose flute produces such a deep sound? Oh, where is Krishna, whose bodily luster is like the luster of the blue Indra Nila jewel? Where is Krishna, who is so expert in rasa dancing? Oh, where is he who can save my life? Kindly tell me where to find Krishna, the treasure of my life and the best and best of my friends. Feeling separation from him, I hereby condemn Providence, the shaper of my destiny.
Can we, this is going to now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to elaborate, or Kaviraj Goswami is going to elaborate. Can we just continue from here for our next reading?
Okay.
Yes. I should go up. Tomorrow, 7 o'clock, I have a meeting.